What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with queer cooks and all of our boys, gals, and non-binary pals making yearbooks. I'm Adrian, as always, here with Paul. Let's get big factin'. Let's get no capping.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Right back at it, Paul boy, after missing your first episode. How are you feeling about that?
I've missed one before. You and Phil did one together without me already.
Oh, the interview? Was that a special episode or was that a regular ep? Okay, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've now missed more than you because you've only missed one and I've missed two. It does feel nice to have Phil as a backup host, though. Really takes the weekly pressure down a little notch.
Yeah, vacations. And it's nice to have someone with a really good tech setup who knows how to do everything the way that we do.
I mean, we do same thing every week, and even we've messed it up like three times.
But now, why do you want to explain your absence? What fun shenanigans were you getting up to?
I went to New Orleans.
Hey, NOLA.
NOLA, New Orleans.
The reason that we couldn't do our boys' trips to New Orleans this year, you were already there this last week?
Yeah. It was a fun time. Went on a bayou tour, saw some alligators, a lot of alligators. It was one of those things where they build it as a nature tour because they couldn't promise that the alligators would necessarily be out. But our tour guide was like, it's a good day. They're out. And we saw like 15, 20 of them things.
Damn, like closer, like yeah, scary closer. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're on a, I don't know. It's
fan
like
boat?
It's not a fan boat. It's like a 10-person boat. And it really doesn't feel like they could jump up, but like, I mean, they were touching the boat and getting really close. There was a surprising amount of wildlife on the tour other than them. Like, we saw a raccoon family, and the tour guide would feed them with the same like fish bait he has for the alligators. And then the alligators would like come up and the raccoons would run away, and they got like weirdly close. Like, you could tell like it was a bit of a contentious issue. And the tour guide was like, yeah, half the people on this boat want to see a raccoon get eaten, and half of y'all don't want to.
Some of you sick freaks, I know what you guys want.
He said two or three times a year, we will see that happen on a tour. I'm like, that sounds like you're setting them up, man.
I mean, that's just flight initiation distance. You have to be, they get habituated, and they have to know when it's a risk versus reward.
Yeah, I'll send you the video. It is, like, shocking how, like, I mean, they were, like, 5 feet apart from each other, and you could tell the raccoon wanted the food and then was, like, skittish and got away in time, but it is crazy.
Yeah.
Although, I don't think they were going to eat them that day because it was cold out, and a lot of the alligators were, like, spitting up even the small fish bait, and he's like, oh, yeah, if they're not up to temperature, they can't digest food. So, I was like, well, if they're spitting out the tiny morsels of fish you're giving them, like, how much, like, are they really gonna, maybe they'll chomp at it just to kill it, but, like, it didn't seem like they were gonna tackle a whole raccoon. It's something I didn't realize was that it's one of those things where we've really figured out, according to him, like, how to do, like, nature reserves for alligators. He's like, oh, yeah, there's more than there's ever been in, like, modern history.
Or, oh, too many.
Alligators right now. Yeah, he didn't put it that way. But he's like, we've got it down to a science. Their population's exploding.
Any other highlights from the trip?
The ghost tour kind of sucked, though, to be honest with you. It felt like the IRL version of true crime, where you can imagine the houses with murders in them in New Orleans. They're just very sad stories. So for it to be like, oh, it's haunted, it's like, no, yeah. I think that crazy woman was just torturing her slaves in an inhuman way. Like, I don't know if sprinkling on, ooh, it's haunted.
Yeah, I think that guy just killed 1,000 sex workers. I don't think there's anything mystical about it.
You know what I'm saying?
There wasn't one about like a cheating husband or something that was kind of fun and girl boss?
There was one that was like about vampires that were supposed to be in the top of old monastery. Our tour guide, she was like, oh, notice how those windows are boarded up, and here's the story of why they think like vampires are there. That one was a little bit less dark than the other stories, but even that started with the IRL thing that happened, which was like, I didn't know it was a penal colony at some point, and they got women shipped in from France. The voyage had gone bad, so they came in emaciated, and that's why like the rumor started that it had been a ship full of vampires. So even that was like kind of sad. Look at you, you little string bean. Even that was like kind of a sad story. But I mean, I guess that one's not as dark as like murder and torture. But
yeah, they were criminals. Don't be too nice to them when you put them in the prison ship.
Well, no, the women weren't criminals. The women were brought over for the criminals because it was so male heavy. So they wanted,
and they needed more criminals to reproduce.
I mean, yeah, I guess
that's
I don't
how you get. That's how you get an island of people with bad genetics like Australia.
What are you talking about? Australians are all so fit. Do they have bad genetics there?
They're bad people. They're bad hombres. They're all prisoners.
I don't see how that's connected to them being fit, but okay.
Oh, that's just the surfing and stuff. I don't know. Anyways, was there anything else about that trip? Or
I'm trying to... What, some non-tour related things? Yeah, we did a lot of fun stuff. There's like a...
No big roundup, but best bite of food, a beignet, a chicory latte, a jambalaya, etouffee.
Isabel took me to this restaurant her and her family used to go to as kids, and they had a Popeyes? Fried green... Popeyes. Yeah. She had a real sad childhood. That was her favorite memory from being a kid. It was just like a restaurant that had a fried green tomato po' boy that was
nice,
really good.
Nice vegetarian option. Nice. I like that.
Izzy isn't a vegetarian anymore, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You know, you can just eat vegetarian meals.
You can, yeah. I do it very often. I made a very nice chana dal. I was eating that all last week.
Mm. What's chana mean?
Like chana masala. It's chickpea. So it's like split chickpeas.
Chickpea dal.
It's good. It's good texture. I made a cold soba noodle salad today that turned out very good.
I love cold soba noodles.
Oh, baby.
And a nice dipping sauce. Although I guess you put them in a salad, but I like it when eat them with the like sauce on the side as a kind of brothy sauce that you dip them in.
Mm-hmm. Other media roundup from what I've been doing. Took an improv class, a diversity class. I went with my old roommate Vince and he really enjoyed it. It was fun. There was a rapping game that I was very excited to do. And it really, it was one of those boys for men splitters, you know, like there's some people who just don't have bars. There's some people who just, they were not ready for the Five Fingers of Death. So that was fun. I watched The Truman Show at the Dreamland. Very fun movie. I really liked it. Kind of got me at the end. It was a pretty emotional ending. And yeah, that's it for me. That's all I've been doing recently.
You've never seen The Truman Show before?
No, I guess it feels like one of those movies I would have looked up as like a mind-twisting movie when I was in high school, but it just never stuck out to me.
Oh, yeah, to me...
Oh, you know what? Okay, say what you're going to say, but I've got a point to say afterwards.
I was going
to
say that was such a TBS classic, and TBS was one of the basic cable channels we got as a kid.
TBS classic.
No. Not to be confused with Turner Classic Movies.
No, I was thinking about the Laughing Channel. What was it called? What was its thing? Always Funny.
Once I had basic cable, which is why I was on TBS watching old people movies as a kid.
I was looking at discussions about it afterwards, as I want to do about movies, and just such an annoying deluge of like, actually this part doesn't make any sense. If you were doing this in real life, when would they have vacation time? And it's like, why is this a whole post? Who cares about this shit? Clearly you don't understand. No, you know what? You know, whatever. It's like, why
they
is
were
this
slaves.
The stupid thing that you, yeah.
It's actually a really deep movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really, that's what the movie's about. And it's like, no, shut up.
Also, like, you just come up with some extra headcanon if you need. Just be like, oh, it, like, basically, once you're finished with that role, it pays retirement for life. Like, you know, you're a millionaire. Well, I don't know. Whatever. Maybe they were all on death row and they had to agree to this.
Yeah, I don't know. Escape. If that makes the movie better for you, but it's a really dumb thing to fixate on in my head.
Now, who would win in a fight? Superman or Truman?
Oh, that's a good point.
How did you feel about the cutaways to the audience watching and their emotional journey?
I liked it. I liked how it wasn't super heavy-handed. It was very lived in. It felt like the fact that there was a Truman Show bar, like, just kind of made sense off rip. Like, I liked it. It was good.
I did like that as a kid for some reason. It really stuck with me. I was always like, cutaways.
The fact that they had old lesbians as one of the people watching it, that was cool.
Yeah. I like that you follow their characters without really getting to learn about them at all, but you're like, oh, I see how that's happening.
Now, it could have been funnier if they did a Chelsea Peretti and it was just random dogs in the audience watching it, but...
They should have done one couple who was just like, "Ah, this is boring. Put on football."
Yeah.
Could you imagine how little you would watch that show if it was on in real life? You would be like, "This is stupid. I'm just I'm gonna watch him shit."
That's a good Reddit post right there. You should post about that.
Oh yeah.
How would the ratings for that show actually be high? That makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. People would watch highlight reels on YouTube.
That's actually good. That, you know, that's more of like if you made it in the modern day type thing that you'd have to wrap your head around.
But yeah, good movie.
Cool. Anything else, or do you want to get into the theme?
I have to take back something I said 2 weeks ago on the pod. I was talking about playing Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, and I was saying that it was like a bit of an annoying game, and I have become deeply addicted to it. I'm really not doing anything else with my free time, and it's a hell, and it's one I wish I could escape from. I feel compelled to play it because on some level, I guess I'm having fun and it's engaging, but I also wish I could escape from its grips.
I think there's an episode of BoJack Horseman that we need to watch to figure out how to get you out of this.
Is it one of those artsy episodes where it's like different drawings? Because I don't really like that.
No, I don't think so.
Is it one of those ones where he does something really bad and then you feel bad for him, but then he does something even worse and you're like, can I feel bad for him? He's kind of a bad guy.
I think it is one of those, yeah. Hmm. You got it.
Okay. Should we talk about the theme?
I think it's about that time.
All right, you mentioned it. We're 2 30-year-olds, and we're really diving into the past here to discuss yearbooks.
Yeah, yearbooks. How many did you buy? How many did you own? How many do you have on your bookshelf? Has Izzy ever asked to look at your yearbooks?
No, and I have zero with me. They're at my parents' house, but I did get them every year. I know your parents had a rule where you got one in high school.
I could pick either my senior year or my freshman year. I think we all agreed that no one cared about the sophomore or junior year one.
Oh, interesting. I mean, to me, it feels like you pick senior, right? Because that's a year when, like, your friend group has been solidified, so.
Yes, but also sometimes you choose freshman and hope that they forget by the time it's your senior year. I think is what I did.
Oh, okay. So you did
just didn't get my freshman year. I don't know. I actually don't know. I'd have to look into it and investigate. I think I have like one or two from elementary school, and then I have one from middle school, which is the one that I worked on because I was on the yearbook staff 8th grade.
Do you remember the scandal from one of our middle school yearbooks? I don't remember if it was 7th or 8th grade.
No, what was it?
It's a little bit sad. I think we're all adults here. We can handle it.
You think we're past it now?
I think there was a picture in one of the pages where you could clearly see a girl's cut marks and like the full page splash of her.
I didn't know about this. Who was okay? Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think she was in our grade.
Oh,
well, at the time they were scarred, so you could see them. I'm sure they're healed now.
And that was a big row. That was a big controversy.
I just remember people pointing it out. It was just something where people were like, "Oh, look at this page in the yearbook. You can see that."
Did you ever get interviewed for the yearbook?
Yes. I do have a pretty good memory from middle school where the yearbook club came into our class and was like,
not a club. Just, it was not an after school club. It was we had a class period where we worked on the
yearbook class. They came into our class and asked the teacher, they were like, we need fodder for the yearbook. Can we get some of your students? And she was like, sure. And she pointed me and a girl from the class and said, you can have those two.
Make them kiss.
And the yearbook class treated us like dolls. And they took us outside and just gave us ice cream and took a photo of us eating ice cream.
Oh, that's a good day.
Yeah.
I was going to say my memory was Ben Schaefer getting pulled out of class to give a quote to the yearbook. They were asking about current events and they asked about Britney Spears shaving her head, and he called her the R word in his response to her doing that. And I think they had to soften the language.
So they changed his quote. They changed his words.
Yeah.
Ben Schaefer was kind of like a poet. You had to use his exact wording. He chose
them
specifically.
It was an iambic pentameter if you kept it the way it was.
They ruined that.
Yeah. I also remember, I can't actually remember. I remember Chandler Sally, if you remember her. She was in the yearbook class with me. Betsy Sheely was in there.
Oh, you were in yearbook. I didn't know that.
That's what I just said at the beginning of this discussion.
Oh, okay. So I'm supposed to remember all the way back then.
30 seconds ago. I did it 8th grade because if you did the yearbook, you didn't have to take gym because it was a full year. Like, it took the same period out of your day. I remember I missed the retreat the summer before where we picked the theme. I can't remember if I was at camp or something like that. I think our theme was something about, like, running out of time or time's too short. We had a clock on the cover. It was like a gross teal color with a dumb little stopwatch on it. Very stupid cover. I like a black cover. And then I just remember...
Oh, yeah. All our middle school ones were like green, if I remember, which were like our school colors were green and yellow.
Green, you know what it is. Green and yellow. But, I can't remember the instructor's name, but she was like one of those people who had like some amount of experience in local journalism and like really tried to like teach us the ways of how to write good, hard-hitting journalism and seemed like she cared about
Number one rule of journalism in yearbook club is support Israel.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She was like, no softballs. We're speaking truth to power except for Israel. Her crowning achievement was this like thing that made it to the state newspaper where she was questioning like a USC or like a Carolina football player, and like her fun twist on it was that her question that she got to ask was boxers or briefs. That's all I remember. I don't remember her name, but I remember it generally being an interesting time. It was a small group of people working on stuff. Oh, perfect attendance. Walker Barfield. I remember one of my classmates being really enthusiastic at the interview that she did about for him about wrestling. And she was like, I got a really good quote for him. And it was some kind of quote about the feeling you get when like you're getting judged on your wrestling and the way you find out that you win is that your arm gets lifted or whatever. She was like, killer quote. We're putting that on the big part of the thing.
Killer quote.
I think I got to interview, we did that thing where like an author, we picked one author a year. We read their book as an entire school and he would come and talk to, or they, she, he would come and talk to the class. I got to interview the guy who came to as our designated author for the year. So I wrote that page. And then, yeah, I just remember the only thing that like felt kind of newsroomy about it was like the board where you have your story ideas and people are like ranking which ones they want to do or which ones seem stupid. But that's all I really remember about most of it. It was not a key memory to my time as a middle schooler.
The other thing that I think is a core memory around yearbooks is our senior year yearbook, where we were the first senior class that didn't have superlatives. Because
yep, talked about that before.
Yeah, because parents had complained.
It was seen as bullying, or seen as problematic. No. That you could...
I remember it was specifically pegged on a pair of parents who were upset their kids didn't win, but maybe that was a rumor.
Oh, maybe that was the official stance for how to like rationalize it. But yeah, that was what I heard, was that like, oh, it's too prone to people feeling like bad or about themselves or whatever.
I guess both could be true. Like that, yeah. Yours sounds more like the official stance, whereas like the actual reason was like one specific person felt bad about themselves for not winning.
Oh, I feel like I would have heard about that. What kind of pussy had his parents litigate on their behalf?
I mean, I guess they wouldn't have been in our grade, right? They would have been older than us, but.
Oh, it was Arjun?
I love the kids who conscientiously decided to be cool at one point.
I feel like it's gonna be one of those episodes where we're gonna have to wonder how much to bleep out in people's names.
I got smoke for RG.
Oh, okay, I'm about to say, like, we're talking about Betsy Sheely, we're talking about Chandler Sally, we're really bringing in names in this one.
I don't know any of the other people you mentioned, but RG.
Oh, okay, yeah, I brought someone in from the upper class and you knew who they were.
Man, that always cracked me up. Was like, you could see the moment he decided, he was like, I'm not gonna be a nerd anymore, I'm actually cool now, I'm sociable now.
Yeah.
I imagine he read like How to Influence 12. What is it? How to Influence, How to Make Friends and Influence People.
He read I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell, and that really really got to him. Signings? Did you try and get as many people to sign as possible? Did you try and keep it tight? Did you do a lot of cats? Do a lot of kick ass this summer?
In middle school, I feel like I did. I would take it to everybody in class, especially because in middle school, they had like an hour to do that. Like you would spend time doing that.
I think there was one where they would even let us go out in the hall to like find all of our other friends and stuff. We got like a designated hour where we got to go out in the hall and do that in middle school.
But in high school, I think I went to my friends and like lunch table and stuff.
I remember one year I just wrote the same message to everybody as a way to make it easy on myself. I just wrote like something, something, have a good summer, stay classy or something.
Stay classy.
Yeah, I was really big into Anchorman at that time.
I feel like yearbooks are kind of a thing, like senior pranks, where there's a lot of lore around them where people are like, oh, this is a crazy thing that happened at another school, or like somebody did this, or Like, they got away with writing "I love anal" at the first letter of every sentence or something, and if you read through it. Yeah. I don't remember any of that in our yearbooks, or if it was, it didn't get spread wide and far, so I never knew about it.
No, I don't think there was anything too crazy about it. I know that I remember, like, the final proofing was always a really big deal of, like, this is going to be the final copy forever. We got to make sure everything is completely finalized. I also remember the feeling of first getting the yearbook, or in a lot of years seeing some of my friend's yearbook, and the first thing you do is go to the appendix and see how many pages you're on to be like, oh, I made it in for this club. Or there's also stories of that too. I remember me and Doralee both have stories of like, oh, we just showed up for the picture day for that club even though we weren't a part of it because my friend invited me to do it. Yeah, I mean, I didn't get quoted in mine because I was the one doing interviews. That was always kind of fun. Like, you get to school a little bit early so that you can go around and, like, interview people to ask them questions about stuff. Sometimes you got to, like, take people out of class, which was kind of fun. Yeah, I don't know. Learned a little bit about journalistic writing, the who, what, when, where, what, questions, whys.
Yeah, a little bit about journalistic writing, who, what, when, where, why. Israel is not an apartheid state.
That was a big part of the curriculum for some reason. I don't know why. And then I remember I had to present as part of a school-wide assembly when they were being released or something like that. I remember that because it was like 8 of us, so we like had to do this presentation to the school about the yearbook.
I will say, if I wasn't able to leave them at my parents' house, I think they would go in the trash. There's no way I would. There's no way I would.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Just it would be fun to like.
You would have to digitize your photo, right?
Yeah, I would probably take a picture of like some of the pages or something maybe, but I don't know if like I would have the energy.
You wouldn't donate
it
to the Library of Congress?
Do they not already have a copy?
I don't know. Is that a thing?
I'm sure. You have to send it to them.
Yeah, so you could do a little progression photo thing.
Yeah.
How did you feel about your photos? Did your parents make you dress up? Do you remember any particular ones?
No, I can't remember photo. I never had that like sitcom thing where photo day was a big day, but maybe.
You ever maybe had that Nesta Classified?
Maybe it just wasn't a big deal, but my mom reminded me in the morning to put on a collared shirt or something, but I don't remember it being like a to-do. How about you?
Yeah, I would just wear what I normally wear. So there's probably lots of like yearbook photos of me like wearing a purple hoodie or something like that I would wear every day.
Mm.
Didn't do anything special for it. Yeah. I think my parents was different than like photo day, right? Where you like, what was that for? Was that just for senior year, or was it every year that you took photos at school that you could like buy packages of?
Oh yeah, didn't we have to wear a jacket?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't think I ever did that.
For our senior year photo, didn't they make us put on a jacket?
Maybe, but I don't think I took one then.
I have to go look at my senior yearbook photo.
We were all in tuxes?
I don't think tuxes. I think, what am I thinking of? Maybe we had like a
the masters?
Anyway, it would be better if there was some more pranks or to-dos around ours, but
we didn't get senior quotes.
We didn't get senior quotes, but I don't think we ever had those at LHS, right? The superlative they specifically got rid of, but quotes were never a thing. Do you remember the full page splashes people would buy? I remember the specific memory where I told my sister, I was like, isn't that like, it's like $1,000 for one of those. Wouldn't you be so embarrassed?
Wait, are you buying an ad? What are you doing?
Like, you could get the full page splash where it was like your family would put like 5 or 6 photos of you growing up or.
Oh, for like a senior book or whatever?
Yeah. I don't remember how expensive it was, but I remember hearing the price, feeling scandalized and telling my sister like, man, I would feel so embarrassed to have one of those, and then people know that my family spent like, you know, $500 to get that for me. Like, it just feels like, I don't know. I guess at the time, maybe I was like frugal or something. I don't know what it was,
yeah,
but I was
real
like
miserly back then.
In my mind, I was like, it's embarrassing to know that you've spent that much money on something like that for others to know. And my sister was like, well, that's not how most people feel about it, Paul.
Yeah, that's I felt that way about class rings. I was like, ain't no way I'm getting scammed with this shit. So you've never had a guest over at your house and shown them your yearbook?
No, I think we do the family photo albums more than the yearbooks. I'm sure we have flipped through the yearbook, but I think family photo albums are more exciting.
I don't think it was a big part of, I don't think I had, yeah, I didn't take mine with me to college or not have any of them now, so Nothing
interesting. Do you know for sure that your parents have kept them? When was the last time you, like, actually checked their existence?
Oh, I haven't been in that attic in a long time, but I'm pretty sure they're there. I mean, I know that, you know what? I don't actually know. My mom's a hoarder, so I would assume that they're there, but I can't verify whether or not they're there. But I mean, you know, I think Nando only had like 5. Dorley only got like 3 or 4. I got like 3 or 4. They're not that much to keep around.
I mean, you were kind of lucky that, like, you kind of would have gotten a junior year one anyway if Dorley got a senior year one. But I guess she wouldn't let you take it on a separate day to get it signed.
No, it would have just been messages to Dorley from her 3 or 4 friends.
How did the twins handle it? How did the LHS twins handle it? Did they get one or did they get two?
Oh, you think it's like every other year, like even year odd year?
Can you imagine how obnoxious it would be as a parent to have 2 copies of every year's yearbook?
Yeah, no, I couldn't get down with that.
If I was a parent, I'd be like, share. You take it in one day, give it to your brother, and they'll take it in the other day.
Well, I would be like, if I had a pair of twins and I was their parent, I'd be like, well, only one of you guys is going to school because we're setting up a prestige for everybody, but...
Mm. and the other one's going to work as a farm?
Well, we just only let it known to the public that there's one of
them. We need an extra hand because, as you know, we do live in the 19th century.
Yeah. All right, you want to get into a column?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so this is one that I don't think we've done before, we'll ever do again. This is McSweeney's Internet Tendency, daily humor almost every day since 1998. This is Dan Kennedy Solves Your Problems with Paper. So this is a paper-focused advice column. And this is from July 28th, 2004. Here we go. From... insert card fully, subject problem with paper, date July 17th, 2004, to Dan Kennedy. Dear Dan, I need your advice on paper. I am a yearbook advisor, which means that I deal with a lot of paper. Do I want to go with a glossy or matte finish? What weight would you suggest? Currently, I'm using 80 pound. Also, can you think of any way I can lose my assignment as a yearbook advisor? I've been doing it for 9 years, and I'm really tired of it. I've begged my principals, but apparently they don't want to give it to someone else. I don't really want to screw up the entire book and risk losing my teaching job. I just want to have time to grade papers and read this column. Thank you, Elizabeth Fullerton, Lewisburg, Tennessee.
First thing they should have mentioned is it already a paid position? And if not, just insist it becomes a paid position. They'll find another volunteer pretty quick.
You think that's going to help them choose between glossy or matte finish on the paper that they're using? The most important part of the question?
I kind of just forgot about that part of the question. You know, my inability to remember things.
Really focused on the part that doesn't matter to this advice column. This advice column is about paper, Paul.
Can you think of... Okay, so you think they're just going to ignore the can I get out of my assignment as yearbook advisor?
No, yeah, that's glossy the part we can actually talk to you about.
Glossy paper is... Well, you're right. Glossy paper is less likely to get damaged, but matte has, like, a more prestigious feel.
Glossy feels a little cheap, which I think... I don't even know if that's true. It might cost more money.
Yeah. It does feel a little cheaper, but I can see why for something like this that you want to last a long time, it's going to last longer.
And I would stick with something a little bit lighter weight to make it cheaper, maybe like a 75 pound.
I don't know about paper's weight. Like, I know paper has a weight, but I don't know. Like, is that something that's for both glossy and matte? I don't know. Our middle school ones were all glossy. I can't remember for high school. I don't know why my memory is failing me.
Matte finish. I feel like they're all glossy. They all have that same kind of, like, sheen to them.
Which I really do think is a good finish for something that you want to, like, last a long time and not get
for something that you usually open up and, like, look at while you're having your morning coffee and, like, croissant. You know, you want something that's gonna have all that stuff bounce off of it.
I mean, but that also doesn't get yellowed in an attic in the same way. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, paper ages.
All right, so what do you think about them losing their assignment? Do you think that they should try and what is it called? What is the thing that husbands do that women accuse them of?
Weaponized incompetence.
Weaponized incompetence.
Which, do you think that's what Phil is doing with his audio to get out of recording the podcast?
I have to imagine.
Like I said, I really think if it's not a paid position, you should try to make it one. That's really going to put a fire under their ass.
I do know that, well, this might be like a California law versus a South Carolina law thing, but I was talking to a high school teacher for a while where they let me know that they get paid extra to do weekend school and they get paid extra to host a club after school. So it is in their contract that they that the extra time goes to their wages. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But
whereas in South Carolina, it felt volunteer based, which makes it sadder.
I think they did get paid extra from what I remember. I think I did hear that once, but
yeah.
I don't think that that's necessarily true everywhere for every situation, which is why to me, it seems like it wouldn't be that hard to find another teacher if it was a paid extra thing. It seems like the only reason they would lock you in and force you is because they feel like nobody else would do it.
Yeah, maybe. Like I said, for mine, like it was like, I don't know what else she taught. I think she was just the yearbook person. I think that, which we only had it for one period. So I don't know what else she was doing. Maybe she was also an English teacher. That makes more sense.
Okay. So we're not sure about the paid thing, but an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not a slave, right? Like you have to be able to get out of this somehow. If it's before the start of a new year and it's not your core job.
Sometimes people fall into these kind of things. Yeah, I don't know.
It is a lot of responsibility.
Spend 1 year co-doing it and then handing it off to the next person.
I see what you mean by there was a teacher exclusively for it in middle school. It feels like a lot more responsibility than just a club organizer or any of the other extracurriculars, right? Like it feels a lot more demanding.
I think so. A lot of late nights, a lot of weekends. I don't actually know if that's true. I was going to say the other thing that I remember that the yearbook team hosted was at the end of the year. Do you remember going to the auditorium and seeing a montage of photos from the year?
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. And I can't remember who did our montage, but they did like a lot of music of the time. And like that was where I learned the 22nd rule incorrectly about how much music you can put into something. So you had to like change the music every 20 seconds. I think it was like the night before or like day of even. That whoever made ours on our team like deleted it accidentally or like fucked it up in some kind of way. So it ended up just being the yearbook instructor who made it. And it was all just like classic rock that she was into. And I just remember being like, man, that's a bummer. I hate this.
But this person, I mean, you said that
at work. Have I ever tried to lose a job?
No, I was going to say, you said at work that one of your coworkers invited you to something. You thought it was work related, but it ended up being like that public speaking group.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess there could be a nosy or pushy boss who insisted on you doing that. How would you react to that of being like, look, it's not part of my job description. I'm not getting paid for this. I'm not doing this.
That is kind of the gold standard at the state. So it really is. You sign one of the things you do on your first day of work is you sign the job duty statement. And so that's your ticket to being like, I can't be forced to do this. I can't be asked to do this. Or if I'm not meeting my job duties, like point to that and be like, what am I not meeting on that job duty list? So
and you're
I think
unionized,
that's kind of
so
a,
they can't just change that on the fly.
There.
So our advice for this person is to move to a state where teachers are unionized.
Union.
Oh, yeah. Or form a union.
Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, it would be funny to do a really bad yearbook. And just be asked not to do it anymore. It would be kind of cool.
All the captions next to the photos are like, here's a bunch of kids doing some shit, I guess. A
bunch of kids yapping. There's a reason that they didn't do superlatives the next year, because they just did everyone's the biggest idiot.
Worst smile.
I think I've said this on Fob before in an early episode, but I did win best smile in my third grade class when we did not a yearbook, but just like a end of the year. We were like, hey, let's all vote on stuff for everybody to have a best thing. And I won best smile.
And in my class, I won best smile across the grade, not just for my class.
Okay, yeah.
They said my smile was better than anybody else's.
And then you went
the
to regionals
classes.
And you won that one too. aforementioned Betsy Sheely, I distinctly remember her trying to fill out the sheet for what everyone was going to get voted for her. And she made me smile for her. And she was like, ooh, I like that. That's... And then she put me up for
best smile.
Are you
saying you were sexually harassed in third grade?
No, I just distinctly remember her asking me to smile and I felt uncomfortable. And I was like, now I understand what Gertrude Stein's talking about. Okay, yeah. So wait, what were we saying? Any other ways to get relieved of your duties?
Find a patsy, a person who doesn't know that it's an annoying, hard job that isn't that great to have.
I mean, I think what we're learning from the stories we've been telling is that if enough or even just one really annoying parent complains, you can get out of stuff. So maybe you should try and plant or even bribe a parent to complain about you as the yearbook advisor in a way that's not going to get you like in big trouble, but like,
oh, go woke off. Go woke on the yearbook. Be like, this year the theme is inclusivity and we're putting up pride flags all over it. There's going to be a whole page dedicated to how God doesn't exist.
Inclusive? That's not inclusive.
Well, I mean, shut up, man. That's part of woke.
We're doing woke yearbook. And the yearbook's going to go broke. That's terrible.
Yeah. I mean, that would get some parents complaining. That might get you booted.
That's true, but that feels like what they were saying about, I don't want to just purposely do a bad job.
That's not doing a bad job. You think it's a bad job to do inclusivity?
I don't know about your definition of inclusivity. That feels okay.
Leave out the religious stuff. There would definitely be a parent who would complain if you did a queer yearbook.
Probably, yeah. And I think that might be, hey, that could be a good way to stir up the pot and stick to your values, but still get the goal that you want, which is getting knocked out of your yearbook duties.
Yeah, just decide that you're really, really, this is a really important issue to you.
Yeah, that, and then, yeah, go with the 75-pound paper. I think you're probably pretty good.
All right, do we want to hear the answer from the paper expert?
All right. At first, when you said you've been yearbook advisor for 9 years, I thought I had finally met a student who mirrored my high school career. And then I read the last line where you say you just need time to grade papers and read this column. So you're a teacher. Or you're a student who has been held back a lot. And you're a genius. Because you've cracked the code that confounded us all, that came before you, and you're actually grading your own papers. There's no way those stiffs can hold you back this year. Well done. Grade away, sister. But getting to your questions, since you're a teacher, wink, no one needs to-
Can I just say that there wasn't a part of me for even a second that thought this was a student? This feels like a fake thing that happened in their mind.
Yeah, are they saying that they failed a lot in grade school? I don't know. Grade away, sister, but getting to your question, since you're a teacher, wink, who needs to, ahem, produce a yearbook, brilliant. I think you're doing the right thing with the 80-pound stock, and I would say to go with a gloss finish. Okay, agrees with us. I would even think about an upgrade to a heavier and slightly more formal 100-pound gloss. Crazy answer. As long as it doesn't feel too formal, like a sad and glossy memorial. As if the entire student body had died against security barricades at overbooked rock concerts, or in ski club bus crashes where interstate-weary chartered drivers sneak Irish coffees behind the wheel or under huge Indian summer riptides while visiting the coast in chilling El Nino reminiscence. As for getting out of your yearbook gig altogether, I can think of hundreds of ways you can lose it, Elizabeth. I've made a life out of losing the yearbook assignment, if you will. So-called innocent typos are good. The prom king becomes porn king. And guess who's got time to grade papers and read McSweeney's? You might also inject political opinions into photo captions. Okay, a little bit of Paul in there. Try this under a picture of your current student body president. Our clearly Republican student body president, student name goes here, continues to fail us fiscally and morally, all while stuttering his/her usual tired rhetoric to journalists from the school newspaper about how we are stronger and more united than ever before. Lastly, but arguably just as effective as anything I've suggested so far, secretly start your own rumors that will lead to your certain demise as yearbook advisor. Two suggestions. One. If you look in the reflection on the window in the background photo on page 11, you can see a pot leaf and the word tit. 2. The yearbook is produced with a chemical that converts kids to gays. Hopefully I've helped a couple of folks here today, and come to think of it, I hope I've helped a couple of people over the course of all these columns.
I think this is not part of the answer anymore. I mean, feel free to read it.
Oh, well, this is the last one that they ever did of these. We should read it. We might be the only people who've ever read this. Hopefully, I've helped a couple of folks here today, and come to think of it, I hope I've helped a couple of people over the course of all these columns. Fact, women admit that they can sometimes find other women attractive. Jesus, am I drinking again? Truth is, I read and enjoyed everyone's letters, even though, realistically, I could only ever use a fraction of them in the column. I would have never dreamed that the column would find such a large fan base. Particularly confounding were the large concentration of readers in Brazil, Sweden, the Philippines, and Idaho. But it's time to move on, to get focused on writing a second book. And so, isto y ultima papel columna. Oh, I think it's supposed to be Portuguese. Den har en den sist papel column. Ito ai ang matagal papel halgi. This is the last paper column. Dan. Kind of got a big facts no cap distribution of fans.
Yeah. Did you get a Dennis Leary thing from like the, I don't know, the weird like just referencing random stuff, pulling it out of thin air and kind of bringing it together energy?
A little bit, yeah.
Coast in a chilling El Nino reminiscence. It's one of those things where the comedy is like, I'm referencing something that smart people know about.
Yeah, sometimes women like other women.
Hey, I've read half of Mike Davis' book on El Nino. I'm versed. Real players care about El Nino, but whatever, you know.
All right, Paul, you ready to get into your column?
All right, I'm bringing in Ask Eric, who Phil brought in last week, so we're all familiar. Dear Eric, I want to get rid of my junior and senior year high school yearbooks. They take up space. I have not looked at them in at least 20 years, and I'm not planning on looking at them. The people are not in my life, and I have the memories. I was thinking I could cut out pages with my photograph before disposing of the books. My husband does not approve of this plan, either cutting the books or getting rid of them, insisting I should keep them. He doesn't think they take up that much space and the kids can get rid of them when I'm gone. He argues, I've kept them this long, what's a little longer? We obviously differ on the significance of these books, and I'm concerned when I try to eliminate other mementos or sentimental objects, he'll make a fuss. Suggestions?
So it's just hers. They didn't go to the same high school, right?
No, I think that would have been brought up.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
I mean, well, she said the people aren't in her life anymore. That would be a big glaring person to forget. Also, if you married your high school sweetheart, you probably know your high school friends. That'd be pretty uncommon to marry your high school sweetheart and then
lose never touch see with him
everybody
again.
Else.
I don't know. I laughed a little bit at them saying that, hey, you kept it this long. We're only going to live another 5 years. Might as well just keep them.
Yeah, and it's also, it's her memories. Like, why does he care? Yeah. I just couldn't imagine
being because he likes looking at her friends from high school.
That's my favorite part of yearbooks. I get older, the pictures stay the same age. The
same age. Because then it's going to be like, well, what's going to happen to my Reddit karma when she gets famous and I can't be the first one to post her high school yearbook photo?
You could. She's cutting out that page.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, yeah, not really what I was saying about what you should do with yours, but honestly, if you're going to throw them out, why not just deface them? Why not just cut it out?
Yeah, I feel like that's a fair way to handle it. I get it. If I didn't have my parents storing mine, they are heavy tomes. Our high school yearbooks are not like small books.
Yeah.
I could see myself keeping the elementary, middle school ones. Those are like little like magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not keeping 20 pounds of high school memories.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I would cut out the senior, or maybe I would cut out the pictures and keep the senior year one or something like that, but I don't know. I don't need four of them things.
But why would you care about your wife's plan to get rid of her? Did you ever have that thing where like the teacher that you were taking a class from had their yearbook in their room?
No.
Yeah, I had a Mr. Oh, I don't remember his last name. I just remember his first name being Nathan. He was my eighth grade math teacher, and I think because he knew that I was in the yearbook team or whatever, he let me see his old yearbook, and I got to read the messages from his friends when he was in high school, and it was very interesting to see how like people saw him as a high schooler.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it was like people talking about what a good Christian he was. It was very very Southern yearbook. Yeah. Nathan Fennell, that was his name. I remember seeing him at Taco Bell once with Justin, because anytime his wife was out of town, he could go eat Taco Bell without her.
He was at Taco Bell, not a good Christian anymore.
Yeah. His wife didn't like it, so he would go there when she was out of town.
It's a fast food place. You can pick it up and eat it by yourself.
No, because then the smell's
your
in your car.
In town. Oh.
Yeah. The fact that that's where your mind went to that.
What?
It really says a lot about you, how deceptive you would be in a relationship, that you would just be picking this up all willy-nilly on your own.
It is funny how, like, controlled some people are in a relationship. I just cannot imagine ever feeling limited from, like, a fast food place I like. I would be like, no, this relationship isn't going to work. I'm going to eat what I want, you weirdo. But back to this question. This is another, actually, maybe that is a connected thought. It is weird to, like, I just, what is this impulse to control other people? It's her yearbook, it's her memories. If she feels this way, I mean, you could flag like, hey, don't be rash about it, I feel this way about my yearbooks and I would want to keep them, sleep on it, give it a couple nights to think about if you really want to do this. But other than that level of like advice giving, feels weird to try to actively stop somebody from doing what they want.
Yeah, I don't really understand it. I don't know why, aside from the creepy thing that I said earlier, I don't understand what his attachment to these things would be, or if it really is like he thinks she's going to regret it. I don't know.
Maybe he's worried about her not being a sentimental person, and he's like, he feels like he wants to keep every knick-knack, and this is like some sort of disagreement between them.
And I'm concerned when I try to eliminate other mementos or sentimental objects, he will make a fuss.
I mean, if they're shared mementos or sentimental objects, he does have a bit more of a claim around it. If he's like, oh, I want to keep, like, you know,
my granddad's ashes,
our kid's like first footprint or whatever, or the macaroni picture she made when she was six. It's like, okay, you can't throw that away. He has a claim to that sentimentality, but your yearbooks is a weird one. That's kind of all you.
But maybe that's what it is. This is the initial tell. Mm. This is the initial battleground.
Do your parents have mementos from when you were a baby? Do they have baby shoes or like artwork and stuff? My parents, my dad does have a folder with a lot of my old art.
Yeah, I think they probably have it somewhere in the attic. My mom's a hoarder. I've said that before, but I don't know. Yeah, she definitely has. I remember she has something from my second grade class that I wrote. So she's shown me that before, and I'm sure that's, like, stored with other things that she has kept up with. I mean, she even has that stuff from, like, my little cousin that she likes. I will say I don't know what the ratio of my stuff to Doralee's stuff to Nando's stuff is, but I think Nando did the most creative stuff when we were young, so.
Wait, do you want to say hi to Izzy? She's FaceTiming me.
Oh, shit, what up?
Hey. Are you recording? Hi, Adrian!
What up?
Wait, Izzy, do you have your yearbooks from when you were a kid? And are you planning to keep them forever?
Yeah, I guess I don't. I guess I'm gonna throw them away.
How would you feel if I was to throw away my yearbooks? Would that bother you?
It strikes me as sad, but wow. I feel like I'm being tested right now.
It's just the advice column we're reading, where a wife wants to throw away her yearbooks and her husband is he's taking issue with it.
Yeah, I would think that's a little bit sad for you to do. I don't know if that could stop you if it was you and I, because you're physically quite stubborn, but I would be sad for you to throw away your books. What if your kids want to see what you looked like when you were like 5 years old?
Okay.
I'll say this though, I've never once looked at my dad's yearbooks and he still has them.
Yeah, who would? That's some freak ass shit. All right, thank you for your input.
All right, bye.
She would be sad if you threw them away.
Yeah, but she wouldn't try to stop me because I'm stubborn.
Yeah, because she could not stop you.
Yeah, this is something that's brought up a lot. Maybe I am unique in that sense, talking about the Taco Bell thing and the yearbook thing. I am very, like, I'm keeping my independence. I'm really, if it's something that's to do with me, I get to make that choice.
Okay, you're big on bodily autonomy, okay.
Yeah, but hey, maybe that's more normal. Maybe people do feel like some ownership over the other person's choices.
Yeah, I don't know, it depends on the context, but yeah.
So is there any sort of middle ground? I you said this earlier, like get them digitized. I don't know how expensive that is to get like one of those machines that flips the pages and takes a picture of each page.
Your library has one probably.
Yeah, but you probably have to like flip the page and scan each one yourself. That's like a whole afternoon. That's a whole.
But do you need all of them? You don't need all of them.
It sounds like that's what this husband's worried about, though. He's like, don't cut them up and just keep the good pages. I want you to keep them all. So it's like maybe if there was a way to digitize them quickly.
Mm. You have little nieces that are not in school yet, nieces and nephews?
They're in school a little bit, like, you know, the pre-K stuff.
Do we have confirmation that yearbooks are still a thing, or
they is there definitely any chance are. That they maybe no not in are. Their age, but I assume once they get to kindergarten and first grade.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't think that there might be this blind spot of like, oh yeah, they got rid of those 10 years ago. You guys didn't know that? No one does those anymore. They're digital.
Now you just get a chip implanted in your brain.
They give you a little pill that you eat, and that's your yearbook.
Maybe that's an option for saving money. It's like, I could see kids getting like a pad that you sign, and then the yearbook is like digital, like for like a quarter of the price or something like that.
Yeah.
But also maybe not, because I do think it's a money-making scheme.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It was interesting in the last column that they got to choose the paperweight and stuff. I don't think that was an option in our schools. Like, I think they contracted out to a company.
No, I think the yearbook advisor gets to make a decision.
Well, maybe
for
there's
everybody.
Tiers with the like printer that you contract out to, but I'm pretty sure it's like probably standardized. Like you could probably pick from a couple options, but other than that, you're really just giving them the content and they're taking the the rest of it.
I don't remember what software we used to make it now that I think about it. Because it definitely wasn't like a Microsoft Word or whatever. It was like a specialized software, but
probably something offered by that company specifically. Could be.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they are now. If they were 70 when we were in school, you know, with how inflation is.
All the yearbooks caught up in the Strait of Hormuz right now. It's that time of year. And I have the memories. I take umbrage with that. I think if I looked back at my yearbook, I would almost certainly think of things that I didn't, that I don't have at the front of my mind or anywhere deep in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people that you wouldn't ever think about, but if you saw their photo, you'd be like, oh yeah, that person was in my class, or...
Yeah. Honestly, that's why I should have kept a yearbook with me, is every time someone like Phil or Drake talks about someone who I have no idea was in our high school, and I'm like, oh, I hung out for 2 years with the same 10 people. I didn't know half of our high school.
Yeah, yeah. Our high school... Well, we went to a high school that was pretty big, too. It was kind of impossible. Yeah. I'm very much on the question asker side. It's like, you just got to tell your husband, like, sentimentality is fine for your own things. It's kind of just, like, these are heavy books. I don't want them around. Who cares?
What about the thing that Izzy said? Did you ever look at your parents? Did they have a yearbook or old photo book or something that you would look at?
You think my parents brought... First off, photos? I don't think Lebanon had yearbooks, and they definitely didn't bring them from Lebanon. Old photos, yeah. They have a couple. Yeah. They have, like... A handful from childhood and stuff, but definitely nothing substantial.
Okay.
I think that stuff really gets lost in the move across continents.
Mm-hmm.
Do yours?
Yeah, my parents have some old photos that I think Dora Lee's done a good job of digitizing them. So, like, we have all of them on Facebook or whatever. Dora Lee brings them out every now and then, so I can find them there.
And did your parents... bring them when they came to America first, or did they wait to get citizenship and then make like a trip back to Guatemala, or like at least permanent resident status, to bring back like
illegally. He was going back and forth in that thing. So I don't actually know if they waited, but I do know I don't know what their home base would have been back there, so I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. There's like a cool photo of my dad as a bartender that I really like of him during those days.
What would your dad do? Cross into Mexico and take a flight from there, or was he going full ground to Guatemala?
No, I think he was driving all the way through, like getting a ride, yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
That's not an easy trip. That's like you got to be like, I'm packing it up for a month, so you'll see me if I get back.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, yeah. Damn. I don't know when he took his first flight. That's an interesting question. I should ask him.
Okay, so your dad probably in one of those trips just filled up some stuff like photo books and put them in the trunk and brought them back. Probably. That does seem like a tough thing to prioritize.
Mm. Yeah. Nowadays, I mean, I don't know what everyone's got. Nowadays, everyone's just got these digital cameras in their pocket called an iPhone. They're just taking those photos all the time.
Cool. Do we want to read the answer? Do you have any other suggestions?
Yeah, I mean, what is he going to do if you throw it out and don't tell him? Is that a boundary crossing thing? Is that an issue?
Somehow that does feel worse, but it is like, what is he going to check them? Why'd you even ask? I guess it makes sense to mention it, but...
Blame it on your Salvadoran housekeeper and get her deported.
Yeah, blame it on your Salvadorian housekeeper, because then she'll face the death penalty when she gets back to El Salvador.
Yeah. Bukele is really big on your books. All right, yeah, I'm ready to hear the answer.
Unless you and your husband were prom king and queen, voted most likely to succeed, and co-editors-in-chief of the yearbook, I don't see what concern this is of his. Actually, even if all that were true, he'd have his own yearbooks to lovingly let molder in the attic, and shouldn't get in the way of what you want to do. His sentimentality may be clouding his judgment. This surely can't just be about yearbooks. You can, if you'd like, assure him that you'll check in before trashing things that are shared property or more meaningful, but you don't owe him an extended discussion about this. Closure is healthy. You got what you needed from these books, and you're ready to release them. Don't let him clutter up that process for you.
Okay, yeah.
That does make it seem sadder to me. Now I'm like on Isabel's side a little. If it's about closure, that feels like it's some sort of like... high school was tough and I'm getting rid of these memories, and that makes it seem like a little bit sad in a way, versus like I thought she was just like downsizing and didn't care If it's,
I mean,
like
that's what
a,
it seemed like to me.
Screw you to your high school memory. There is like, hey, maybe you should unpack that a little bit.
But keeping the yearbooks isn't the solution to that.
Yeah, that's true. You can still toss them, but
yeah,
then it adds a layer of like, hey, maybe think about why that memory is painful enough that you're trying to get rid of the memento. But it didn't sound like that. It sounded like she was like, I have the good memories. I don't need the weird physical book taking up space.
Yeah. There was not a lot of context provided in that question, but I think Eric basically hit it on the nose, which is just like, why does he care about this? That's weird.
All right. Agreed, Eric.
All right. All right, Paul, you ready for a third segment?
Let's do it.
All right. Just pulled it up on my end. All right, so we're just going to do a little roundup and reaction to something we alluded to earlier that we weren't able to participate in, which is senior quotes. I feel like every now and again you see some that were like big memes pop up in Reddit or whatever, you know, pop up as a little meme-y type thing. But we have 130 from boardpanda.com. We're probably not going to do all of them. But before we get into this, Paul, what would your senior quote have been? Or what would you do now? And how funny would it have been?
Well, I was a dork, so I would have done farewell and thank you for all the fishes. Michael Douglas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what you were reading around that time?
Yeah, probably.
Is it Adam Douglas or Michael Douglas?
Adam Douglas.
Yeah, mine would have been that that Marx quote about how last words are for fools who haven't said enough during life. And it's like, you're not dying. You're just graduating.
Yeah, I feel like I would have tried to think of something funny. I probably would have Googled other people's funny senior quotes and maybe copied one or something.
Yeah, I would have maybe done something. I probably, you know, would I have gone for
sentimental? I think I would have gone for funny, but I'm not sure. It's hard to know. To get into your high school mind where you would have probably, I would have definitely overthought it for sure. It would have felt like a intense thing to pick.
Yeah. I would have said, and if I don't see you, good afternoon. Good evening, and good night. If I had watched The Truman Show in high school, it would have really affected me.
All right, number one, and I mean, there's 130 of these, so I don't know how we're going to pick, but we'll definitely do number one.
Find one that you like and as we scroll through.
Which was a child named Maxwell Barrett. Of course I dress well. I didn't spend all that time in the closet for nothing. Oh, that's funny.
Ooh, I like that. Do you have any general ideas about, you've talked about this in like a movie sense, right? Where this kid looks like a high schooler to me. It doesn't look like when you see those ones from the 70s where you're like, that's a 40-year-old man. Why is he a senior in high school? This kid looks like a senior in high school to me.
Yeah, I didn't look like that. He's one of those people who'd grown up in high school. I definitely looked still a little bit more like a, like I had some, not baby fat.
Diary but, of a wimpy kid.
I didn't look as adult as this kid, but he looks like, to me, he looks college aged, but there was definitely some of those kids who like, you know, who'd grown up just a little bit faster into their full adult face.
All right. I'll do Randy Chung's. Let's see. High school was easy. It was like riding a bike, except the bike was on fire and the ground was on fire and everything was on fire because it was hell.
That's cute. Randy looks more like a high schooler to me.
Yeah, you're right. He's got a little bit more of the baby face going on. How bad is high school that's your ending sentiment?
I know. That does feel a little bit like I wouldn't have picked that. I would have felt like it was a bit of a screw you to everybody, but maybe Randy
it's
hated
cool that
his
they let
classmates.
Him curse. Yeah. I guess he was in the 9 p.m. yearbook session because he could say whatever the hell he wanted.
Oh, the next one's very relatable to me, so I'll go ahead and Amatola Amatangamban. I've learned to say here when the teacher hesitates while taking attendance, which was 100% something I relate to, which is whenever teacher paused during attendance, I'd just be like, here.
They'd be like, Puel? Whereas if I was the sub, it's because I'd be like gearing up for a, and I said, Polly. Oh, well, if we're doing things, jokes about cultural stuff, let's just move on to number four. I hate having to explain to everyone why I wear a hijab, but if everyone must know, Voldemort has possessed me and his face is living on the back of my head. Now, that one doesn't age well.
Because of the war in Iran?
No, because of the turf shit. Because of old Valdezi being on there.
Oh, number 10. I never knew snakes could talk until I came to this school.
Ooh.
I like deep. The venom for everybody. Also, this is one of those older yearbook photos where it's like, why did they let them take such like moldering Vogue-esque photos?
Yeah, she's got the is it like the scarf? No, like the hoodie wrapped
like
around
a tennis
her neck.
Jacket kind of.
Yeah, like yeah, with like sunglasses and like you know what? I'm not here to judge, and I'm not here to tell a woman what her truth is. She looks like she's the drama.
I mean, it looks like a professional headshot for like a modeling agency, not like a high school yearbook photo.
I'm just saying, vibes wise, I think she's the drama.
Yeah, it implies the existence of a lot of bad vibes and drama in her friend group.
Okay, we can do. There was a twin one that we skipped earlier, but number 14 is a paired one, which is what I was saying earlier. Is like maybe I would have tried to do that with someone that I knew. It's easier if you're related, but yeah, this is two sisters where one, the older one just says I was planned and the younger one says I was not.
Okay.
Yeah. Mitch Dorley and I could have done that one. Well, we weren't both seniors at the same time.
Can you imagine the person taking the quotes before the other one came in and just like, I was planned? Sure, I guess. Freak.
I would think it's a Jesus thing if I saw that out of context.
Okay, this is the type of thing where I think it's probably why we didn't have senior quotes, which is it feels like a minefield for people to sneak
screen through. Yeah.
Yeah, to sneak in like dirty jokes that wouldn't immediately be obvious to the yearbook committee. So number 19, we have Noah and Mason. Noah said, you got to enjoy the little things in life, like blowing bubbles. And then Mason said, they call me Bubbles in the classroom because I'm always rising to the top.
Oh, okay. So it's seemingly innocuous, but then it's these two guys who kind of look like they could be related were...
Do you think they were actually gay lovers and this is a little bit beautiful? The school would never accept them for who they were. It's a Catholic school and they finally came out to everybody.
Mason and Noah, they look like they could gentrify a really nice neighborhood.
Yeah, they definitely look like two straight friends who thought it was funny to put in a gay joke. But I like to think that maybe they were. This was them coming out.
Could be. They look so happy now. It gets better. I'm going to do the next one just because I think it's funny and I think it's probably representative of what I imagine a lot of people our age did, which is a quote from SpongeBob. So Faith Woods has with the dyed green hair, I'm sure she was very popular. Goodbye, everyone. I'll remember you all in therapy. Plankton. Mm. Which, one of my favorite things is when a show just really hits above its weight class for a joke. That's a great joke.
Number 26, we got 100 character limit for our senior quote. That seems unfair. We refuse to be constrained by these There was an asshole editing this because they still put a period at the end of it. It's like, leave off the
period.
Which
ruins the joke, yeah.
Yeah, to make the joke happen. There's a pair of twins that their quotes were Control-C and Control-V. That's cute.
Yeah, it's fine. This must be a reference to something, but I don't know what it's from, so I kind of want to hear your take on this. Number 36, sometimes when my neighbor is gone, I roll around in her garden and pretend I'm a carrot.
Maybe it's just like
Or do
so
you think
random.
That's just so random? He's so random. Okay. A lot of the, I don't know why there's been like a pretty good mix. Maybe I would say the only thing is there's not as many Latino people in there. There's a lot of black people who have funny jokes. A lot of Asian people who are just dumping their racial trauma of having people say racist things to them.
I was about to say that. We've skipped every single one, but I would say like 2/3 of this is an Asian person who's like, you all didn't know if I was Chinese or Korean. It's just them being like, you guys all said this racist shit to me all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, this was a better version of the hijab joke from earlier at 43, from Gufrin Sala. I got a haircut and no one noticed.
Okay, all right, I'll take it. Stephanie Esquivel is about the drama of number 45. A lot of girls didn't like me this year, but their boyfriends did, winky face. That is a wild, that is a wild thing to cement as your legacy.
I can't believe they let her get away with that. That really does feel like it would have been filtered.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a sex positive school.
Yeah,
maybe one of the boyfriends was on the staff that reviewed it.
You see, this is the type of thing I would be worried in retrospect that I would have done in high school at number 48. Hiya, Link from Legend of Zelda.
Oh, Legend of Zelda, but it's a girl gamer, so it's cool.
Oh, yeah, should have known.
A lot of people coming out, that must be a Gen Z thing. We wouldn't do that in my day.
There is something like when you point out a core part of your identity in your quote, it's like, man, that just feels sad because it feels like you felt the need to do that because it's what everybody talked about around you. Like with the Asian thing or the people like doing a gay joke, it's like that was your personality. You were just the gay guy, and that kind of sucks. That makes me feel bad for you.
Yeah, and they list you in the yearbook as Gay Tony.
Yeah, our school did that to such a degree that one of the few gay kids in our year was just known as Gay Tony.
One of them just went with like what must be a quote from like a old what would you even call that group? Like a Leslie Nielsen like movie? Like that kind of era? It's just a guy who said, if idiots could fly, this place would be an airport. Is that just a Rodney Dangerfield line?
Yeah, it feels like something from a movie, right?
Yeah, killer joke, Ethan Smith. You got them all. You got their asses.
You see, I don't know if this one's real. This one feels like somebody photoshopped it. Was James Charles really famous when they were in high school? Because it's like supposed to be him, I guess. So maybe he was already like famous on YouTube in high school. James Charles, and use code James for 10% off your purchase at checkout.
Now, if they were famous, is that pretty good? Or is that not good?
Not really. Not that clever.
Yeah. Okay, this is another one that they why are they letting kids talk about sex on here? Why are they letting them do that for a high school? I'm not even going to read that one. I don't like that one. It's not a good joke.
Nicholas K, is that who you're looking at?
Yeah.
A girl named Alexa, whose quote is, "No, I won't play a song for you."
Oh, I just got that. It took you saying that for me to get it. Joanna Clark, number 89. If someone ever asks you to do something, do it really bad so you never have to do it again. Paris Hilton. That's the theme of the episode, baby. Weaponized incompetence. She's got it. I didn't realize Paris Hilton was the inventor of that.
Another gross sexual one at 84. It's just a redheaded guy saying the carpet matches the drapes. Why'd they let him get away with that?
Is that sexual or is that just anatomical?
I think it's sexual.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's gross. They shouldn't let children be doing this. The Bubbles one, at least, it took some clever coordination. They shouldn't just be allowed to talk about sex.
Are you doing an Adrian thing where, like, if you were in a moderating capacity, sometimes you do take into account how much effort was put into a joke to be like, all right, we can allow that one.
Yeah.
I think that took a little bit of effort.
It's like, you have to at least be interesting. It can't just be like you're not just allowed to make us think about your penis. It has to at least be funny.
Wait, what? Okay, it's about his pubes. Okay, I like how number 100 is just one of those. Do you remember when Phil got really big into the AI photos of cartoon characters doing bars as rappers with like grills and stuff?
Yeah,
this is just one of those. It's just, even at my lowest, I'm still a Family Guy, and that's just an AI photo of Peter Griffin with like $1,000 in like a chain. This is them doing bad bars.
Oh, okay. I just got to it. I didn't hear it and how you said it. Lois, L-O-I-S,
Even at my lowest, I'm still a Family Guy.
I like that they just let this one kid be a misogynist. Good girls are found in every corner of the earth, but unfortunately, the earth is round.
Dude, that's a good Andrew Tate quote. I couldn't imagine, I would die if my senior quote was me being an incel.
Okay, another one. That's just gross. My mom should have swallowed me. Throw it out. Don't let him get away with that.
Don't let him graduate. Don't let him walk at graduation.
Shoot him.
You have to just replace it. What should the replacement be? Like, if they refuse to change it, what do you think the replacement automatic
This kid is gross.
This kid is nasty. Yeah, who are these little horn dogs? What is with these high schoolers? 107, Jack Johnson. I'm no weatherman, but you can expect more than a few inches tonight. First of all, I'll go ahead and say this looks very photoshopped. I don't think this is real. So maybe they didn't get away with this one, but I don't like it. Either way, I don't much care for it.
Who edited this list?
Well, actually, the title of the article is 130 yearbook quotes that are worth a standing ovation. And so I'll say also the writer of this article is a little freak because too many of these are sex-based.
Take life as it comes in your face and runs down your chin? What the fuck?
I don't much care for that.
Arrest him.
I don't much care for that. Arrest him. All right, we're rounding out to 130. All right, I don't know if I gleaned anything from that third segment. What's your take overall? What's your big fact no cap? My no cap is, we'll never know because they got rid of superlatives, but I would have won most likely to be on SNL if we would have gotten them.
And we never know because they got rid of superlatives, but I would have probably gotten even more likely than Adrian to be on SNL.
My parents would have gotten so mad about that.
That one does
they
feel targeted.
They would have raised fury.
the LHS principal being like, the students vote on it. We have no control. They're like,
they vote on the categories too. Yeah. All right. Bye, bro.